For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Hello, friends. Thanks for listening today to the podcast of Ripley Baptist Temple. I pray that the message today will be a help and a blessing to you and to your family. Now join us as we listen to the Word of God from the pulpit of Ripley Baptist Temple. Take your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 24 today. Luke chapter 24 on this Resurrection Sunday. We're so glad you're here, and it's a wonderful day to be in church. Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. I don't always speak about the resurrection. I guess this would be about the 26th Easter I've been able to preach here, and I thank God for that. I really do thank God for that. 25, 26, something like that. Luke chapter 24, verse 1. Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning. You know, I've said to people before, you know, after you've preached that many resurrection services, that many Christmas services and all that, how do you stay fresh? Well, because the gospel is a fresh message. You don't have to find something new. You don't have to find some new twist on it, because it's still exciting after 2,000 years. I've had the blessing, man, the blessing of twice standing in what many believe to be the empty tomb. What a thrill that was. It was the joy of my life. I mean, really was. But let me just say this. If I'd never gone there, you don't have to go there and put your feet on the soil. You don't have to go there and sail on the Sea of Galilee to believe in His miracles. You don't have to do that. You can have just as much a thrill and a blessing and a joy and say glory by sitting here in Ripley, West Virginia, and the joy of the Lord and the meaning of Calvary and the cross and the death, burial, and resurrection can be just as real without going to the empty tomb. Luke chapter 24, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they come unto the sepulchre, these dear ladies, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. Amen. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. I want to speak this morning on this subject, the power of the resurrection. Heavenly Father, I pray that You'd help us today. Thank You for the wonderful songs, the choir, and these special groups, and the congregational singing, and the fellowship. And Lord, it's a wonderful thing to get together with God's people and worship You in spirit and in truth. I pray that this morning, on this another Easter Sunday, that, dear God, You do a deep work in my heart and do a work in all of our hearts. And Lord, may the joy bells of heaven ring true in our hearts today. I do pray for every Christian that's discouraged today. And Lord, it's easy to become discouraged in this old sin-cursed world. I pray, Lord, that you'll ring those joy bells again in their heart. I pray that some would find You a Savior today. I pray that some would just allow You to be Lord of their life who are already saved. I thank You for these that are coming for baptism, church membership. Lord, I thank You for those that have walked these paths before us. Today, I thank You for the life of Mark Lewis, who went to heaven this weekend. Lord, we remember him. It seems that he left us so early, but all in Your timing, dear God. I pray that You comfort Laura and the kids and their family. I thank You for Clifford Lonas, who pastored this church many years ago. And God, You used him in a great way to lead our church in the right direction. Thank You for his leadership. Thank You that he's in glory with You today. And Father, I pray that You'd help us to be mindful of these things. Lord, all of us are going to pass a baton back behind us to the next generation. I pray, Lord, that we'll walk true and right and straight. In Jesus' name, amen. I like what the Apostle Paul, it's an amazing thing as we read the sermons of the apostles and the disciples. As we read their sermons, one thing was always included in their sermons was the resurrection. The resurrection. We often speak of the death of Christ and we should. We speak of the cross of Christ and the suffering that occurred there, and we should. But so often, I think, and I think maybe for whatever reason, the devil detours even us preachers from remembering the resurrection. And the fact, and I find myself more and more saying, he's alive. Yes, he died on the cross, and yes, they buried him, but he got up out of that grave. And if he did not get up out of that grave, we have no hope today. I think of what Paul said when he said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, he said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. But he said the power of his resurrection, the power of that. You know, without the resurrection, it'd be like going hunting with no ammo, you know. I mean, why? Unless you're just practicing catch and release, you know. I do that quite often out in the woods. But anyway, I mean, why would you go hunting with, it'd be like taking a gun with no ammo. It'd be like taking a sword and having no edge on the sword. The gospel is not the gospel without the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I think Satan has detoured us and discouraged our pulpits from preaching the power of the risen Savior. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, the Bible says that he ever liveth to make intercession for us, and he saved them to the uttermost that come to God by him. His resurrection is our message. Without Christ living, I mean, he did what no other man ever did. He got up. The grave could not hold him. Death could not hold him. I love that old black preacher, S.M. Lockridge. Man, what a preacher he was. I heard him years ago in Lynchburg, Virginia. But he had a famous message that he preached. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. And you can hear his voice somewhere on the internet. You can pick that up. Don't Google it right now, because he can out-preach me. Lord help me. But by the way, Google it later, S.M. Lockridge. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. And without that, we have no hope. What message was argued the most about the Savior? Oh, his miracles were doubted and lies were told about him and all of that. But it was the resurrection. It was the resurrection. It was the resurrection that was attacked. They said, well, he didn't die. He swooned. He passed out. They said the disciples came and stole his body. They went to the wrong tomb. I mean, listen, the devil has concocted many lies about our Savior. Even the historian Josephus had enough sense to say, yes, we saw him. He rose from the dead. Thousands saw him after his resurrection. He had a body. He got up out of the grave. And because of that, he was the first fruits of them that slept. He's the first fruit. He was, because he lives, you and I have hope of a resurrection through him today. So without the resurrection, the gospel is crippled. It really is. Resurrection day is a day of good news. These ladies who came to the tomb came with sadness, and certainly they came with despair. They came to anoint and wash and to take the body of Jesus. Later, we would find out that Joseph of Arimathea, a very wealthy man, and Nicodemus, a member of the Sanhedrin who'd come to Christ, came and begged the body of Jesus and wound his linen cloths around him, had about 100 pounds of spices and ointment, and washed and prepared the body of Jesus. And when he passed through, when he rose from the dead, when they saw his grave clothes, it was in the form of a body lying there, and the napkin that was about his face was folded and laid aside as if to say, I'm coming back. We think about the power of the resurrection. May I give you three thoughts today? First of all, it is almighty power. It took almighty power to raise Jesus from the dead. I was speaking in the Good News Club the other day, and these children are so sweet, and a little boy said, well, how did he come back from the dead? And I thought, well, that's a pretty good question. And my first answer was, well, he was God. But he was 100% man and 100% God. But as God, he raised from the dead. It was an almighty power that raised the Son of God from the grave that day. Notice they found the stone rolled away. They came to the sepulcher. By the way, again, he didn't need it for very long. Joseph said, you can borrow it for 3 days. Jesus said, I won't need it long. I won't be there long. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. I preached Wednesday night about when Jesus came into the garden and after his Gethsemane prayer and he came and Judas brought a Roman cohort of soldiers, about 300 to 600 men to arrest Jesus. Imagine that. Jesus said, I walked among you for 3 years. Why do you bring soldiers with clubs and staves? In fact, the Bible says that Jesus stepped out of the darkness. He stepped out of the darkness to meet them. He presented himself. They said, where's Jesus? He said, I'm right here. I'm not hard to find. Say amen right there. And when he said, I am, that's all that he needed to get out of his. When he said, I am he, when he said, I am, they fell down. Look at it in the book of Matthew. I mean, they fell down. He cut them down like cordwood just with his word. They fell down, the power of his word. They fell down on the ground. He offered himself. He that knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I mean, as the Lamb of God, he steps out, presents himself. He said, here I am. You don't have to look for me. Yet Judas came and planted a kiss on his cheek. And he called him friend. What a love that he must have had for us. It was almighty power. They entered in verse 3 and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. This is the day of power that we live in. We hear much about power. We hear about military power. I believe that. I believe in that. We hear about military power. We hear about the power of knowledge and intellect and education. There's something, I guess, to that. We hear about the power of medicine. We've heard a lot of that debated in the last 3 or 4 years. We've heard about political power and financial power and money. All the power and the wealth and the fame of this world that people chase. But resurrection power is the greatest power of all. Think about this. What can science do in a cemetery? What can science do in a cemetery? I mean, in John chapter 11, As they stood at the tomb of Lazarus and they wept, and Jesus came and raised Lazarus from the dead, Jesus wept. The shortest verse, I guess, in the New Testament. As he wept, he realized they just didn't understand who he was. They didn't understand their sin. They didn't understand the power of God. They didn't understand the power of his word. And he stood up and said, Lazarus, come forth. Old Mays Jackson, that preacher down in Georgia who's in heaven now. Brother Mays used to say, if he had not said Lazarus, everybody in the cemetery would have gotten up. Amen. Jesus never attended a funeral that he didn't break up with a resurrection. I mean, listen, what can science do? What can education do? And what can money do? And what can power do? Earthly power. Listen, we're all going to have to face God one day. That's the thing. Only Jesus can satisfy. Only Jesus can save. Only Jesus can give us salvation. And it is a free gift. It's almighty power. The power of the resurrection, Paul said. He wrote in 1 Corinthians 15:1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. I declare unto you the gospel. The word gospel means, it's the Greek word dunamis. And it's where we get our word dynamite. Dynamite. It's gospel dynamite. He said, I declare unto you the gospel. And if you'll believe that gospel, you can be saved. There's power. Dynamite's powerful, isn't it? When I was a kid, growing up there in Chesapeake, and my dad worked in the mines up Cabin Creek, and I mean, they'd come into the elementary schools all the time. They'd have these They'd have these little orientations with all the kids. Now, kids, if you see a blasting cap back then, you know, that was pretty common. Don't pick it up. And they'd show you pictures of blasting caps and all that kind. I remember that. It was unusual. It was a different day then. I also remember the polio lines. That's another story. But there's something about dynamite. And Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the dynamite unto salvation to everyone that believeth. I wonder, has that exploded in your heart? That power of the resurrection. It's almighty power. Secondly, we think about this resurrection, the power of the resurrection. It's amazing power. It's amazing power. The power to save a lost soul. John Newton wrote that great song, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound that saved a wretch like me. I mean, there are different words in the Bible that describe salvation, but I like that word saved. I just like saying it. Saved. I'm saved. Only God's people can say, I'm saved. I'm saved. I've been rescued from sin. I've been delivered. I've been ransomed. I've been redeemed. I've been bought with a price. Saved. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And Newton said this. He said, I was a great sinner. But he said, I found a great Savior. The power of the resurrection to save a soul. It's amazing power. He said in verse 4, it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments, angels. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulcher and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. There's something about the heart of these dear ladies. I think about the spirit of these ladies who came. The 11 men were huddled somewhere in an upper room out of fear, and these dear women who had a heart for Jesus, that loved the Lord, came to anoint his body and do whatever they could. They just wanted to be near him. The Bible says in verse 10, it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles, and their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. It's amazing power that would raise a man from the dead. He took the crown of thorns upon his head. He took a beating that few men could have ever taken and lived, much less carry the cross as far as he carried it, and hang there, be nailed to a tree. The blood loss. Isaiah said his visage was marred. He didn't even look like a man. His face had been pummeled. His beard had been yanked from his face. The cat of nine tails. It was gruesome. It was gruesome what they did to him. The Romans were experts at making people suffer. And the Son of God came to suffer. He came as the Lamb that would die for our sins. You think of that amazing power, there's no hope without it. You think about Jesus' life, we find in Jesus' life the perfection that's needed to be saved. If Jesus sinned one time, you and I could not be saved. But he that knew no sin, he was the perfect Lamb. In Philippians chapter 2, you don't have to turn there, but in Philippians chapter 2, it describes his life. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. He emptied himself and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. His life represents the perfection needed to save, and then his death represents the payment needed to be saved. But his resurrection speaks of the power that we need to be saved. If he did not get up, I mean, I think about I think about the guards, and I think of all the soldiers that were gathered there. I think about all the people who saw him die. I think of the centurion that looked up and said, surely this was the Son of God. He'd seen hundreds of men die. And he thought, this man was different. Movies have been made about that, but I think we'll see that centurion in heaven one day. And you think about the Lord and how he died and the power that you need to raise someone from the dead. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 3, the scripture says he was seen and proven his resurrection by many infallible proofs. Many infallible proofs. If there's evidence that needs to be presented in a court of law, there would be many infallible proofs to Jesus' resurrection. And the scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 13, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. In other words, there's no reason to preach. There's no reason to share your faith. It's all vain. We are found false witnesses of God if Jesus did not rise, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. I often think of the rich man and Lazarus. Lazarus had sat at the gate of the rich man for many days and begged crumbs that would just fall from the rich man's table. When he died, no one wept, probably no one hardly noticed. But he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, into paradise. But when the rich man died, the Bible says in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. And suddenly he had a burden for his family. Suddenly he believed that it was too late to believe. But it's not too late for you. If you're listening by internet today, it's not too late to be saved. It's not too late to trust Christ as your Savior. And that power of the resurrection, there was payment that needed to be paid. And only Christ could make that payment. Only Christ. The Bible says there in 1 Corinthians 15, it says, if Christ be not raised, if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, you're yet in your sins. For in this life only we have if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. When the rich man died, they had quite a funeral. They would pay mourners back then. He had the money to pay for many mourners. There wasn't probably anybody at Lazarus' funeral. And I think about that. I think about the welcome he had on the other side. And I think about the rich man. I remember years ago, I've had one funeral in my life where no one came. Think about that. Think about that. It was just us and the funeral director. No one came. No family, no friends. No one came to pay their respect. Think about how sad that would be. But as I stood there, I knew the man, and I knew that he'd trusted Christ as Savior. I'll never forget this. I said, there may not be anyone here to say goodbye, but there's plenty on the other shore to say hello and welcome him into glory. Amen. Hey, this is not the end. This is not the end for the believer. And Jesus Christ, his resurrection, when Jesus died, listen, the power was not shut off. The power was turned on. So it's through his resurrection, the payment that was needed to be saved through his death, and through his resurrection, the power that we need. The power that we need. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's almighty power. It's amazing power. And think about this, the power of the resurrection is available power. It's available power. You know, I don't know much about electricity. I know when it doesn't work. I've got a generator out in my garage, and I leave it out there so I'll trip over it. So every once in a while, I'll start it just to make sure it's still working. When the power goes off, I don't have a transfer box yet, but I've got one. I just don't have it plugged in. But I've got some cords, and we run cords and trip over them for a few hours and all of that. I don't understand electricity. I know how to plug in something. I know how to flip a switch and all of that. But I know this. I don't understand. We were coming over the mountains in Tucker County last year. Cindy and I had been preaching at a couple's retreat. And it was a real windy day. And man, I mean, the wind was just howling. We were leaving Blackwater Falls and coming over those mountains. And I said, man, those fans are really going to be going today. Or whatever they call them. Windmills. They weren't turning at all. And someone told me, I think Rich told me, when they get up to so many miles an hour, they turn them off. And I thought, now, what? These are windmills. They run on wind, and much wind means much power, I thought. And so when it gets over 45 miles an hour, we turn them off? I don't understand that. Maybe you can explain that to me. I don't get it. All I know about wind energy is the wind doesn't always blow and the sun doesn't always shine. I'm glad when they do, you know. But there's just something about electricity, and there's something about power. It's not any good unless it's available. You've got to plug into it. You've got to be connected to it. And the truth is, simply put, how do we get connected to God's power? Through Jesus. Right. The Bible says there's one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. Power is worthless unless it's available. Resurrection power is available when we're tempted. Resurrection power is available when we're depressed. Resurrection power is available when we're defeated. Resurrection power is available when we're lost. Those little kids that got on the bus this morning, I drove that bus and I opened that door, and I'm telling you, there's just something about it. A child jumping on that bus and they're excited. It might be the only thing they've been excited about all week. And I'll tell you, there ought to be a place like this where kids know they're loved. There ought to be a place like this where kids can hear, hey, you can be something for God. You matter, and you're not stupid, and you're not ignorant, and God loves you, and we love you. There ought to be a place like that. God help us. And those kids got on there this morning, and I thought, man, I mean, they were excited about the egg hunt. They're bringing buckets. But you know what I was excited about? I thought, there's resurrection power that can change those children's lives. There's resurrection power that's available for them, for their parents, for their grandparents, for their families, that can get them online, that can get them on the straight and narrow, that can deliver them from the dope and deliver them from the drugs and deliver them from the alcohol and change their lives. Listen, it's available to you. Now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. In verse 30 of this chapter, by the way, looking in verse 12, then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulcher. Out of those 11, it was Peter that ran toward the sepulcher. And stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves. They tell me there's two Greek words here. John looked in one way, but Peter looked in another. And it says Peter beheld it. He viewed it like being gazing at something like at a theater. He was enraptured by it. He was looking at it a different way. John got there first, but Peter ran in to the sepulcher and he saw the empty grave and believed. It's amazing. It's available. It's available to Thomas, who doubted. It was available to Peter, who would be crucified upside down and die a martyr's death. He beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed, wondering himself at that which was to come. Later, Jesus would meet the Emmaus Road disciples, the two disciples on the Emmaus Road. It says in verse 30, it came to pass as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to them. And notice their eyes were opened. Verse 31, they knew him and he vanished out of their sight. And they said this, they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened us to us the scriptures? It's available. Jesus, in his resurrected body, walked with these men and was interviewing them, asking them about all the events of the day. They said, haven't you heard? They said, Jesus, this is the third day since he was crucified. Haven't you heard? Where have you been? Jesus said, I've been in the grave for 3 days. He didn't tell them that. But when he sat down and broke bread, the Bible says their eyes were opened and they knew him. And they said, did not our heart burn within us when he talked with us by the way? That power was available. That power was amazing. That power was almighty power. And that power has not been turned down one degree today. It's the same saving power. It's the same awesome power that's available if you'll trust him. I saw something the other day. This is not original. But because of his resurrection, what does it mean to me? My past is forgiven. My failures aren't fatal. My present is meaningful, and therefore my life is not fruitless. My future is secured because of the resurrection. My death is not final. Think about that. Jesus said this. He said, I am the resurrection, I am the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Believest thou this? I'm glad I believed it. He changed me. I'm not perfect, just forgiven. You can be forgiven too.